Hello and welcome again to How We're Putting Two and Two Together, a segment where we interview the cast and crew of Putting Two and Two Together. I'm Peter Sophronis. I'm the writer, director, and a couple other things, and I play Jason in the series.
And I'm Dan Murray. I am chiefly the voice of Tommy, although I am a behind-the-scenes consultant in a number of areas, and I will hold on to that to the day I die.
Which hopefully isn't
I have
too
no
soon.
Plans. Yes, I'd love, to, I'd love
yeah, okay,
to stick
neither,
it out
yeah,
as long as I'm allowed
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not recasting at this point.
So, yeah. Well, so you called. You called me up, and we're yeah. I mean, we've done these segments before. What's the plan here?
Yeah, well, no real interviewer, you know, interviewee. It's more of just the two of us co-hosting this thing,
right.
And we've just released the mid-season finale for season
That's
three,
right.
So we've got a few weeks to go before we come back. So I figured it made sense just to touch base and hint at some of the stuff that's.
Oh,
coming.
Okay.
And I don't just necessarily mean this season. Mm. I've got other seasons in the can and everything, or not even so much in the can, in the.
They're being
formed. In my head.
They're becoming
somewhere
real.
Between my head and the paper and the. And,
yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, right smack in the middle of season three.
David just came back.
That's right. We were just talking about this ourselves, that he's been gone for a few episodes, but really it's only been a few hours. Like, it's been one single day.
Most of the day.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, I mean, considering the circumstances where David left,
right.
Tommy does have a reason to be a little concerned.
Yeah, yeah, not your average everyday spat between the two. This was a big different thing.
Yeah, I mean, they are the couple that argue...
Yeah.
For the fun of it.
For sure.
But this one was not fun.
No, not fun. And I remember when David is leaving and Tommy kind of runs out of thoughts, just kind of says, you know, I love you. And like David's like, yeah, great. Get out of my way.
Just let me be mad.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's weird, you know, from the writer's standpoint, having David be the volatile one this season.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always been sort of the even-tempered, keep it all cool and casual, fix things for everyone else most of the time, and he's really just taking his moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a 1-2-3 punch. I mean, it was John earlier in the season, then Rachel, and Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, he certainly earned it.
So in a few weeks, we'll get to hear where he's been, and hopefully... He's not in bigger trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully everything's okay. I know we're still in the middle of Hot Off the Press being revamped and getting ready for reopening, so hopefully his absence wasn't a terrible hindrance, although I know it
yeah.
distracted Tommy something fierce.
Yeah, I'm sure Anthony's not keen on that.
Yeah.
He's pulling out his hair, trying to get that squared away.
Oh, yeah.
But it is progressing. We're inching its way to... a big party at the end of the season to celebrate the grand opening.
That's right. That should be a
reopening, as the case may be. So
yeah.
It should be interesting to see how that plays out.
Very nice big party, lots of celebration, not a single problem whatsoever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You almost said that with a straight face.
Oh, I was just inches away.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to do? Not make the season finale dramatic? Come on.
Well, this is a soap opera, you know.
This is a soap opera.
You know, and what was it? How did I describe this season? This is sort of my Empire Strikes Back
season. Oh, that's terrifying. This is going to be great.
Yes. Well, it's all about character and, you know, what's the old saying? You get your loved ones in a tree and then you throw rocks at them, or what's that say?
Is
that
I'm not sure I'm familiar.
I'm probably killing the metaphor, but that's you know, that's sort of, you know, the writer's adage.
We can make up one.
It's like, yep, exactly. But yeah, so there's season three is plugging along.
Any clues or hints we can give people for the upcoming rest of the season?
Best way to put it is if you think you know what's going to happen, you don't.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I remember reading the scripts in the first drafts, and I thought I might have known where it was going, and I sure was wrong.
There was certainly one episode that kind of, you know, to this day, if I...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dare say there may be one or two people even who... put a permanent cringe on my face every time I hear their voice in the recordings.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll
find out.
Season three is actually, compared to earlier seasons, has taken a lot longer.
Yeah.
The writing process definitely was long. I mean, it was like I took a long time to do season one and getting up to speed and everything like that. Season two, lockdown happened, and I just rushed it in. You know, yeah. One could argue whether I rushed it too quickly, but that was done there. And then I did three, and I just took my time.
Yeah.
About a year ago was when I started to edit all the recordings that I had started to do. And I figured, okay, it's going to take me a couple months to do, because that's what it usually took. And here I am a year later, and not all the episodes have been edited.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty close, and I'm ahead of the game. Mm. Part of the reason why I wanted to do an every other week, because if that didn't happen, the season would be over and there'd be a bigger gap. Mm. But season four has been written.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing some editing tweaks, you know, wearing different hats.
Of course.
Writer, editor, acting. But it's a pretty solid season that I've got in the queue going. But this time around, I'm also writing season five.
Ooh, okay. Getting a little extra ahead. Any thoughts behind that? Any plan for that? Or just kind of once you were being creative, came right in?
Well, there is that. From a writing standpoint, it was the last two chapters of the story.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of wanted to get a sense of it as a whole. But also, it was a case where season three recording session was just long.
Yeah.
And I remember being completely and utterly burnt out by it. And, you know, I was burnt out while I was still recording, you know, the straggling parts, but I had to turn around and edit it. And I was exhausted going into that, which is kind of the part of the reason why it took me so long to do.
Yeah.
But I realized, okay, the thought is, if I'm going to tire myself out, I might as well just tire myself out and record both seasons. And that way, I can edit ahead of the game.
That makes sense.
There won't be as much of a gap between three and four, and there certainly won't be between four and five.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, the episodes will keep coming, and
yeah, they'll just be ready to roll out.
But I also, you know, just got a sense of what the final two chapters are going to be. Mm-hmm. And I mean, already season four took off in a completely different direction than I was expecting. I mean, there's a big thing at the end of season three. You and I both know that.
Yep.
And
oh, yeah.
It's one of those cases where I painted myself into a corner, and it took me a while to figure out how to get myself out of it. And once I did, it went in a completely different direction than I wanted to. I mean, the same trajectory, but there was a lot more to the story. You know, the cast is growing. Again.
Uh-huh. Yep. Always.
And that's, you know, another reason why it takes longer and longer to record is because, you know, the more actors we have, the more people I have to coordinate.
Yeah.
But there's also that sense of there are characters that get introduced in season four that will have a bigger payoff in season five. And, you know, part of it is like, I need to figure out exactly, you know, with David and Tommy, obviously they're lead characters,
right.
You know, Jason was a supporting character that got a little bit, you know, I don't think he'll ever be a lead status, but he started out recurring and then became much more supporting.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some characters that I'm introducing that I'm not completely sure what level they are. So I don't want to cast those roles until I know what the roles are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That being said, I've approached a bunch of different actors, you know, about playing these new roles, you know, or saying, I've got a role, I'm not sure what role I have for you.
Yeah.
But
so definitely a lot of thought and distinct deliberation going towards writing season four and five at the same time, so you can kind of get the bigger picture and have the plan for it, so that it's not going to be as big of a gap as season three was. But as far as timing goes, I also think it's worth mentioning that for season three, you were in a writing class for much of that time, so you had much more scrutiny on your scripts than you ever had in the earlier seasons. And I think that shows as well, because I know New York Podcast Network picked up one or two of the season two episodes as some of their favorites, but there are a few season three episodes they grabbed.
Now that you mention it, episode 62 is the latest one that they picked.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I'm conceited in saying this, and I don't mean it like this way, but it's just like the quality of the writing has improved, in my opinion, at least, you know, between seasons two and three, you know, and if I dare say, and you've read the season four scripts, going from three to four has been even, you know, it's been even bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's, I think part of it, you know, with season four is, you know, part of it is the fact that I coming from the class and, you know, and taking what I learned, you know, three, I wrote while in there and was learning a bit more.
Right.
Four was the product of that, but also the playing field of four is a completely different animal where,
yeah.
you know, where for the first, you know, half of the series, it's been really about the David, Tommy, Rachel triangle. Even as much as we go elsewhere from it, that's still an unresolved thing.
Yeah, it's still kind of a
and
core premise.
It's one of the things that my goal had been at some point, and hopefully this will be by the end of season three, that, you know, read between the lines there. But hopefully we'll get past that so we can tell other stories because we're going to need them to focus on other stuff because there's a lot of shit hitting the fan, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. Do you have any stuff that's going on right now that either has or maybe hasn't been written yet in your later seasons that you think you might have a solid conclusion for, or some things that you genuinely don't know where it's going?
That's always the case. You know, it's like, I
guess that's a pretty nebulous question, huh?
I have a skeleton outline in my head, you know, where I see the story going, where I ultimately see the end point. But stops along the way, I could not even predict. You know, that happened every season. You know, I'm freshly thinking season four because that's the one I most recently worked on, and there were definitely some characters in there that I had no concept that they would even be there when I was writing season one. And other characters that just popped out from nowhere. I mean, you know, Eric and Leo were, you know, was just a random thing that, you know, came out in conversation in season one, and we met him in season two, and here they are again in season three. Yeah. Jason himself was, you know, I knew he was there, but he arrived sooner than I expected him to, and his whole... Because he arrived sooner than I expected him to, that whole trajectory that he had, you know, where the Tommy crush thing, you know, that little misdirect or whatever you want to call it, you know, that was unexpected. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a pretty good 50-50 where, you know, half the stuff that happened, I planned. Half the stuff was serendipitous. I mean, Rachel's barstool climb from season one, that was in the moment. I had no idea that was going to happen, and look what spilled out of that.
Yeah, I think one of our most listened to episodes came out of that.
Definitely. Tommy's attack, I knew was going to happen. That was one of the things that was planned, but the how and why was, you know, was unexected. And what, you know, a lot of the stuff that came from that was, you know, was not necessarily expected. David's trip to San Diego that in season two was something that I had planned, but I had actually expected it to be a different reason for him going. You know, the sort of like David's and Tommy's argument in season three, I actually expected that to happen in season two, which put him towards San Diego.
Right.
But that's not where they're going. And in story-wise, I'm glad I waited until this season because I think it feels much more true for David to be where he is at this point in time rather than last season.
Gotcha. Are there any things like that that you wish you could have explored in a different way? Or you wonder if there might be a way to still explore them anyway, even though it's not the way things shook out?
To a degree. I mean, I think I don't know if it's much that things I wish I could have done plot-wise. It's more of, as I become a more skilled writer, I will look at older material and pick it apart.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So if I were to go back and rewrite the first two seasons with my current level, it would be a different animal, but I'm afraid the story would have changed too.
Right, sure.
But, you know, there are definitely things that in my head I kind of want to do and I'm trying to find a place. I mean, there's a scene near the end of season four that I had been waiting 12 years to write. Uh-huh. I think you kind of know which one it is. Yes, that payoff,
yeah,
in that moment. Uh-huh. The deer in the headlights, what the of that moment. Right. And it's just like, I couldn't, it's not a scene I could have written in season two.
Right.
Because, you know, and it's definitely not even a scene that I could have used this season three.
Right, yeah.
But the characters needed to be in an exact particular point to be able to do this, so it would be the funniest.
Right, yeah. And it's funny with scenes like those where it's entirely possible, depending on how each of the seasons shakes out, it might not be able to fit in anywhere. But when you write that episode, yeah, and you get to that point and you say, this can work here, actually. And then you get to see it happen.
My college writing professor, Bill Cunningham, one of the best things I took away from him was that just because a bit, a piece, a scene, some lines don't work in a particular moment doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad. It just means that they don't work in this particular mm-hmm. moment. And if it's really good, you can go back and put it elsewhere.
Yeah.
There was a scene that I had written that was supposed to begin the play. And when he took a look at that script, Bill's first comment was, you can lose the first 7 pages. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're right, I could. You know, it didn't work there. Those 7 pages became the ficus scene from earlier this season.
Oh, yeah.
And literally... Yeah, I don't even want to count how many years that was between that I'd been waiting to reinsert that.
I won't put you on the spot for that.
But the scene that I'm talking about in season four is not one that I had written, but it was one that I had always wanted to write, and I needed to be at the right point in the story to do it.
I'm excited for that one.
But there are so many... the end game of season three is not something I would have planned.
Oh, yeah.
And I certainly... where season four begins is also another instance where I couldn't have foreseen that. But what it is working according to plan is the characters are maturing, they're growing, they're becoming closer to each other. If you look at Tommy, even in season three, but definitely season four, and compare him to Tommy season one.
Yeah. Oh, it's like night and day, two different people.
It's interesting, you know, if I were to go back and do a flashback, can I write them at that point?
Yeah, wow. Didn't even think about that. That's funny.
Any thoughts or questions you might have?
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking me stuff, but, you know, what are thoughts that come from your head?
I really like to see, just as you were saying, the progression that even just Tommy himself has had in the past one season, in the past two seasons, since the play, and really see how he's grown, matured, figured himself out, figured out the people around him, just generally, you know, improved the way that he can interact with the people that he loves. And now, as almost a contrast to that, we've seen David, you know, fly off the handle now, which that's never happened before. That's not what he does. And I'm really eager to sort of see some other characters come to grips with the things that they haven't addressed about themselves yet. Whether it's like David, where it was sort of repressed and it's gonna, you know, come out in a big fiery where is he gone kind of thing, or if they're gonna, you know, sit down with each other and say, hey, you know, this is a thing that I've just been ignoring for a while and we can't do that, and then just kind of see how that affects their relationships and other people down the road as well.
That's definitely where I wanted to get to. Going back to what I was saying, it's like getting past the trappings of the play, getting past the love triangle, which really wasn't even so much a love triangle by the time series started, but just getting past the hurt of that particular moment in time takes that away from the focus.
Yeah.
And now as we get closer to that, we're not there yet, but as we get closer to that, other people's stories and backstories are coming out, and there are definitely things that are happening in the future that will bring those out. And I know you felt it, you know, but even I writing it felt it when in writing season four, there were just so many moments that going into the scene, I realized this is not an easy solution.
Yeah.
There may not be a solution. Right. And there are so many moments I just had to let the characters be who they were and do what was right for them, not necessarily what I wanted the story. And so there I have to adjust that.
Yeah.
But by the same token, be truthful to who they are. And the whole theme of this piece is all about broken people healing each other and helping each other and finally reaching the point where I can actually do that. And that's really what the rest of the series is going to be. I mean, obviously, it's still going to be David and Tommy's story because they are the through-line characters.
Yeah.
But it's a much larger story, and it always has been, at least as far as the series is concerned. It's a whole community, but I'm now reaching the point where I can play with the whole group, not just the leads.
I love it.
So we will return from the mid-season hiatus on February 25th, episode 64, Driving Missed David. Another one of my puns.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah, there are plenty of them coming, and, you know, yes, I know you cringe every time you read a new script.
I love them just as much as I hate them, I'll tell you that.
Exactly. The bad dad jokes, you know. But, well, anyway, as always, thank you, Dan, for indulging me here.
My pleasure. Thanks for sitting down and chatting.
And we'll be back
soon.
See
you next time.